It's time for Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area.
Well, the George Rogers Clark National Historic Park in Vincennes is going to be the scene of an upcoming march with regard to not the George Rogers Clark March, which is so popular at VU, but they'll be venturing to the British side of things. Lieutenant Governor Henry Hamilton was the commander of the British forces who made their way to Fort Sackville, and they're going to follow that path. And with me to discuss that and other things about the George Rogers Clark National Historic Park is Jason Collins, Park Ranger. Jason, good to be with you.
It's always great to be here with you, Steve.
First of all, before we talk about Hamilton March, let's talk about the park itself. Tell me about, for those that are uninitiated, tell me about George Rogers Clark National Historic Park.
Well, the main feature of the park is, of course, the George Rogers Clark Memorial, which sits on the site of Fort Sackville, which was the British fort that George Rogers Clark captured in 1779. The monument, of course, has there's a 12-foot-tall statue of George Rogers Clark, seven murals on the inside depicting different parts of the story, and we've also got the Park Visitor Center, which has a few exhibits, also shows a great 30-minute orientation movie, kind of giving a lot of background to the story. It's a really neat place to kind of come and experience a part of our country's history that often gets overlooked, because when people think of the Revolutionary War, it's all Boston, New York, Philadelphia, stuff going on in the East, and we often forget just how critical Clark's campaign was here in the Northwest and kind of the development of the country west of the original 13 colonies.
So the park's been there for a long, long time, hasn't it?
Absolutely. They started construction of the Clark Memorial in 1931 and finished in 1933. It was a really rapid construction project, and it was federally funded. The federal government paid for the construction of the building. What's kind of odd about it, it's kind of a unique thing. The city of Vincennes, Knox County, and the state of Indiana bought up all the existing property that was down there. It was a big industrial park back in the 20s, and they bought all the land and knocked down everything that had used to be there, and then donated the land to the federal government so it can be constructed. It was a state park for a while, from about 1939 until 1966, when President Johnson came and signed the bill to make us a national park.
And a lot has been done to try to upgrade the park over the years, too.
Absolutely. The last 10 years, specifically, the park has gone through a lot of restorations. They did a big restoration project on the flood wall next to the river. But probably the biggest project was to solve the issue that had been plaguing the memorial structure for 75 years, and that was leaks into the basement. You ever seen pictures of the basement? You actually see pictures of 3 and 4 foot tall stalactites and stalagmites, because the leaks down there were that severe. But in 2008, 2009, they were able to basically take out the old waterproofing and put in 3 separate layers of new waterproofing. And so far, knock on wood, that's been able to keep the basement dry, keep the structure safe. And the third big project was to convert the entire building over to geothermal, which creates a constant temperature, constant humidity for the statue and the paintings and the rotunda part.
Anything being looked at in the future with regard to major projects?
Probably the one of the big things we're looking at is another restoration of the murals themselves. They were touched up once back in the early 70s, but they're a long overdue for another touch up. So maybe in the next 5-10 years or so, taking a look at those.
So how many people work at the park besides yourself?
Besides me, there's about 8 of us. There's 3 what we call the interpretation division, which is the tour guides and people give programs to park visitors. We have our maintenance staff who cares for the grounds and the buildings. There's 4 of them. And we have our park superintendent and the administrator who takes care of all the budgetary stuff.
Now, the park's not open year-round, is it?
We certainly are. We're open 7 days a week. The only days that we're closed are most fall and winter federal holidays. So we're closed on like Veterans Day, Columbus Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. We're open, of course, Memorial Day with the big rendezvous. We're open Memorial Day, 4th of July, because everybody comes to the park grounds and watches the fireworks over the river. And then we're open Labor Day as well.
And you have a lot of events there. As we mentioned earlier, you're going to, on Saturday the 15th, have the Hamilton March. People know about George Rogers Clark and his march with regard to the capture of Fort Sackville, but you're looking at the British perspective of the march to Fort Sackville.
Absolutely. And of course, we can't do the full Hamilton March, which actually started up at Fort Detroit and came down here. That just wouldn't be feasible. It took the British 72 days to get from Detroit to Vincennes. So we're going to kind of focus on the last bit of Hamilton's journey. And really, what we know about that portion of it is that Hamilton said that they came on shore at a cove about 2 miles north of town. And we feel pretty confident saying that the cove was actually Kimmel Park, which is run by VU. And so we're gonna have Van Gogh buses, local buses in Vincennes, are gonna take folks to Kimmel Park. We're gonna use the new river walk and walk back to the memorial. Kind of along the way, we'll share a little bit about that British journey, because we always hear about how perilous Clark's journey was, and it certainly was. But the British are dealing with similar things, or they're dealing with, you know, ice and having to try to cross, you know, big rapids and big streams, and we often forget that to get from Detroit to Vincennes, they had to cross a 9-mile portage. A big land crossing near today's Fort Wayne, and the British brought all kinds of boats. They brought a huge 6-pounder cannon, so they're carrying all of that stuff over their heads for several miles to get back into the river. So we're going to talk a little bit about that story, what prompted Hamilton to go against Vincennes, and what ultimately led to Clark's march in February of 1779. Kind of a prelude to that.
They had to deal with not only the elements, but also the wilderness, the and of course there were Indians and other sorts of people around, weren't there?
Absolutely. The weather was a big question mark, but so were Indians. The Wabash Valley Indians especially were notorious for being very fickle, and they needed tangible reminders from either the British or the Americans that they were, you know, they were respected and that they could be counted on as allies. That's one of the reasons why the British journey took 72 days, because the British commander, Henry Hamilton, spent so much time at these different Indian posts at Fort Miami, which is near Fort Wayne, and Fort Weotenon near today's Lafayette, meeting with these Indian tribes, having these councils, and basically kind of giving them a show of force, if you will, just to say, you know, this is not something that, you know, that we're taking on lightly, because Hamilton knew he needed the Indians to help him, because the entire British military presence in the region was about 300 men. And they saw these American settlers streaming west from the 13 colonies into the county of Kentucky. And they said, there's no way we can stop this on our own. We've got to enlist the Indians to kind of help us in that cause. So part of Hamilton's trek was to build these Indian alliances.
How did they know where to go?
Well, a lot of it was they had scouts and local French from Detroit coming along with them. And a lot of these French were fur traders. And they were very familiar with the river systems, kind of knew where everything was, which was the best way to go. So they relied heavily on these French traders and French scouts and even Native American scouts to kind of show them the way and the proper way to kind of deal with some of these natural obstacles.
Now, back then, Wabash River, as it is now, was it in its current form then, or did has the river grown since then?
Really, as far as we can tell, it's very similar to what it was in 1779. I mean, it shifted a little bit here and there, but we can say with pretty good certainty that it hasn't shifted in a considerable way from what Hamilton and the British would have seen in 1779. And what's often forgotten too is that when you go further north on the Wabash, it's not as navigable as it is down here in this region. So there's a lot of places where it's, you know, more shallow, and you have to work a little bit harder to get a canoe and a bigger boat to be able to sail on the water, because it's not as deep as it is down here.
That's the reason I say that is it seemed to me like if you were trying to make a trek, it would be better just to get on water and try to do it that way rather than try to trek over land and hills and things like that.
But absolutely.
If the river was not navigable, then you had no choice.
Absolutely. And what you often find is that they would use the rivers to go downstream, and often they would walk back because it was so much effort to go upstream than it was to go downstream.
Okay, well, we have talked about that a little bit. Now, if people want to be a part of this Hamilton venture, how do they do that?
Easiest way is to call us at the park at 812-882-1776. Our direct extension to the front desk is 1210, and just say how many folks are going to be coming with you. It's really for the buses, just so we can make sure we've got enough space for everyone coming along. And we ask for folks to kind of register by the 13th, the Thursday before the actual walk. And the buses will leave promptly from the Visitor Center parking lot, which is 401 South 2nd Street over in Vincennes. We're going to meet at 1 o'clock Vincennes time and drive the 2 mile distance over to Kimmel Park, get off the buses, and walk the about mile and a half, 2 mile river walk back to the memorial, stopping quite a bit along the way, kind of narrating parts of the story, talking about the local French, the local natives who are here in Vincennes, and kind of all the events leading to and just a little bit past the British capture of Fort Sackville.
There's no cost involved, is there?
It's absolutely free.
Jason, thanks for being with us, and that's going to be on Saturday the 15th. I guess people really should dress appropriately as the date draws closer. The weather has been these past few days up and down, but you never know. On Saturday the 15th, who knows? The way the weather's been, we may have 60-degree temperatures, or it could be cold temperatures, so you need to dress appropriately.
Absolutely. We always kind of joke, you know, whenever you're trying to plan an event in December, you really don't know how to tell people to address because the weather fluctuates so much. And kind of going along with clothing, if you do have any period clothing, we certainly encourage that if you want to dress for the period, but it's certainly not required, and I'll make sure to wear comfortable shoes as well.
You've had these sort of things before with the George Rogers Clark March. Are they pretty well attended?
Yes. The Clark March is usually our best attended event of the year, mainly because there's just, you know, so much local interest in that. And it's kind of cool. Next year will be the 240th anniversary of the capture of Fort Sackville. So for anybody wanting to do the Clark March in February, we're going to be doing not only the traditional 5 miles, but this year we'll actually be offering the full 12 miles from Clark's Landing, which is on the Indiana side of St. Francisville, walking all the way back to the monument.
Speaking of St. Francisville, I keep telling people St. Francisville, people don't realize what an important part of the history St. Francisville was, one of the oldest encampments in Illinois and in this region.
Absolutely. It was from that point where Clark's men tried to ferry the river to get to the other side. And we always try to explain to folks, you know, we see the river now meandering nice and smoothly in its channel, but try to imagine, you know, 240 years ago, it being more of a lake about 4 miles across and having an army with one or two boats to try to ferry 180 men across. There's stories of these men grabbing logs and branches, trying to find anything to get themselves across the Wabash. Clark's youngest soldier, his drummer, actually used his drum as a flotation device to be able to get across to the other side. You know, they were pretty ingenious when it came to that.
Well, Jason, thanks for being with us. Again, that's on Saturday, December the 15th. It will be at the George Rogers Clark National Historic Park. Starts at 1 Eastern time. And again, give the number if people want to get in touch with you.
812-882-1776, extension 1210 will take you to the front desk phone, and they'll be happy to take your a name and how many will be in your group.
All right. Be a part of learning something about the history of the Wabash Valley and also the George Rogers Clark National Historic Park. Jason Collins, Park Ranger, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Steve.
You have been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area. If you or your organization have issues and information affecting your community and would like to be a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by email wako@dlcmediainc.com, phone 618-943-3354, fax 618-943-4171, or regular mail WAKO Community Issues, 13799 U.S. Highway Business 50, Lawrenceville, Illinois, 62439.